The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live Bible answer program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. If you have a question on the Bible or the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN. Now let's get things started. Here's today's host.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. I'm your host today, Shannon Skolton, sitting in for Mike Kessler. This program is here to answer questions that you might have in the Bible, about the Bible, maybe something you've heard from your church, maybe a friend, maybe something that you've actually heard on Christian broadcasting that you need help with. We're here to answer those questions for you from a biblical perspective and also talk about current events. If you have questions and you want to call in, the number to call is 8888-ASK-CSN, and we will be able to answer those questions for you. You know, there's a lot going on today in the world, and we know that there's a lot of perilous times that we're seeing, and we know that there's some stuff that's going to be lying ahead. And we've been dealing with this election fraud, and we've been dealing with a lot going on from Trump's counsel that we talk about every single day here on To Every Man an Answer, as well as my program, Voice of Truth, which airs on Sundays at 3 p.m. Mountain Time here in Idaho. And we discuss all these things from a biblical worldview, and what does it mean for us as Christians? A lot of people are getting despondent, and they're losing hope. They have a lot of fear, and they have a lot of doubt, especially with everything going on around Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And granted, we know that that is a problem. We see the communist ideologies. We also see the socialism that is prevalent and being indoctrinated to our youth today. So what can we do? There's a lot we can do as believers to keep ourselves uplifted, our spirits uplifted, and to focus on the thing that God wants us to focus on most, which is Him and His return, and furthering the kingdom of God. And that's exactly the encouragement that we want you to have today. We want you to focus on the things of the in the Word of God for the kingdom of God, to not only edify yourself, but also your family. Don't be despondent during these times. I know that a lot of us are still watching the fake news media, and they are full of junk, complete and utter jargon all the time. ABC, CBC, MSNBC, even Fox News now is turning a little bit to the left, which is concerning. Well, we all know that they were actually bought out by Disney, so that really shouldn't surprise us at all. But recently, as early as last night, Tucker Carlson actually rebuked I think it's Paula, actually, who is the attorney with Rudy Giuliani, who spoke at the press conference that we spoke about yesterday, saying that she didn't provide adequate evidence and that he reached out to her on multiple occasions trying to get evidence to back up what Rudy Giuliani and she was actually saying in that press conference. And he inquired and they texted and they inquired, and she had a rude response saying, "Stop texting me. I'm not going to be on your program." She actually came out with a rebuttal earlier today saying, "I absolutely did do that, and I did say that, and I said that for a couple of reasons. One, for the privacy of those who filled out those affidavits in regards to the election fraud in Michigan, Detroit, Pennsylvania. Also, they're not going to leave it up to the American people, or the American news media, rather, to twist what they say and harass these people on a daily basis who gave these affidavits, and so they were going to keep it private." And she said Tucker Carlson was quite rude, and that is why she chose not to respond. Interestingly enough, it's hard to find truth, and where we know we can find the truth is in the Word of God. Nonetheless, in the media, there's a couple places you can look to that are actually doing really good jobs at unbiased journalism. One is Newsy, the other is Newsmax. Of course, you can look at Breitbart, Daily Wire, maybe with Ben Shapiro, Louder with Crowder, OANN Network. There's a lot of networks, including us at CSN International, who try to provide you everything we possibly can on a daily basis, not only to bring you closer to the Lord, but to bring you truth. So keep your chin up, keep your eyes on the Lord, and understand that God is on the throne regardless of who is in office. Today we're supposed to have Dan Steiner with us from Preborn Ministries, and I'm sure he will be coming on shortly. He is an amazing man of God who works very diligently with his wife for Preborn Ministries, fighting for the biblical worldview of pro-life, anti-abortion. He's made a lot of headway in his ministry. He actually was a speaker at the Return with Jonathan Cahn. He was present at the Franklin Graham Prayer March. He's a man of prayer and a man of fasting and a man who knows what it means to lament for your country. And he's done so on many, many occasions. He's been on to Every Man an Answer with Pastor Mike Kessler before. We're happy to have him back on. He's also a wonderful, godly man who doesn't only know the Word of God, but attempts to live it every day. And we're going to be talking a lot today about the abortion issue. We're going to talk a lot today about the sanctity of life. We're going to talk a lot today specifically in regards to how it just seems as if the left keeps doing everything they can to undermine life in general, whether it be aborted fetal tissue, as we talked about yesterday in vaccinations, or whether it's specifically about just the abortion issue at large, maybe Obamacare, contraceptives, things that people think are just birth control that are actually abortion pills, Planned Parenthood, and the evils that lie within. And we're going to discuss what we need to do from a biblical worldview as Christians, as evangelicals, to stand up against these things in love and not condemnation to others. Maybe reach people who have gone through abortions, how we can minister to them, and how we can uplift their spirit and their soul. And that's something that is very imperative in this day and age, to not attack people necessarily all the time and Bible beat them and browbeat them, but to come at them with love and compassion and gentility, understanding that everybody has a testimony and everybody has been through something. And I am no stranger to having people in my life who have dealt with abortions or dealt with maybe miscarriages or have maybe daughters that have had abortions or know someone directly who has been traumatized from just that or maybe had deeper interpersonal relationships with Planned Parenthood. So Dan will be coming on to speak about that, and we will go through some of those things even from a biblical perspective, maybe where abortion started. And then we will be getting to the phones. So I want to ask this question to everybody specifically listening in the car right now and maybe on your browser at csnradio.com with the live feed button, maybe on Facebook, Instagram, Periscope, YouTube, wherever you're listening from. How many times have you been faced with something that's been really difficult in your life, whether it been an area that some people consider basic morals or ethics, maybe some people consider not an area of ethics at all, maybe it's political, and you had to figure out where in the Bible can you get your answer? Or maybe you heard something that you thought was accurate and then you started to question it and you didn't know exactly where to look. And we're going to go through today exactly what you need to know in the Bible, what specific references you can use to help answer those dark questions. We're going to go to the phones today, and as we're waiting for Dan Steiner to get on, and we're going to go to Aaron from Gainesville, Georgia. Aaron, hi and welcome.
Yes, thank you so much for this opportunity and for your show.
Thank you.
And yeah.
How can I help you?
Yes, well, I wanted to make a comment and, to all the people listening, you know, as a U.S. citizen and as a son of immigrants, parents that came from Nicaragua, which is a socialist communist country. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people living here, they never seen this happen before. Unfortunately, I had to experience, you know, a lot of this that's going on here and to see it back in Nicaragua in 1979. You know, the mentality of Marxism, you know, they make believe that you believe that they're part of your ideas, mm-hmm. ideology and theories. But, you know, once they get in power, they go against you. Mm. And that's the whole propaganda of the Marxist propaganda and a manifesto. You know, a lot of people sometimes I'm openly a Republican. There is no way the reason why, you know, I have been insulted, you know, in my social media. I'm an activist as a Jewish mother and a Christian father. You know, I am a pro-Israel supporter, and I have to be, you know, as Jewish. And as being part Christian, also, you know, my ideologies, my theory, and as a representative of God in this world, you know, I have to support a political party or any leader that's going to support, you know, the my foundation's morals and religious belief. You know, it is sad that all this Marxist ideology, socialist ideology, is coming through our own government, you know, from the White House, from the people that are supposed to support us.
Yes.
You know, for me, it is sad. You know, this is kind of in vain, you know, puts in vain all the sacrifice of our soldiers. You know, that Kennedy once, which I don't believe is the same Democratic Party as Kennedy was, or Truman, you know, they fought against this ideology back in, you know, the Asia, in the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many of soldiers gave their lives to defend, you know, to prevent this ideology from spreading around Asia. You know, and I just want to let, you know, a lot of people that are believers in Christ, I believe any person that from all the major religions, you know, it could be Muslim, Jewish, or Christian, Buddhist, of Hinduism, you know, all these religions, they support life.
Yeah.
You know, and any ideology that supports death, you know, abortion, things that go to our morals as Christians or Jews or Buddhists or Muslims, you know, is not from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is a God of unity. He's a God of order. He's respect. Anything that promotes that is not part of God.
Correct. And that's why we make the premise all the time, Aaron, that it's very hard. And I know it's a very harsh thing to say specifically. And I get a lot of flack from it on my program. I'm sure Mike Kessler does too, that it's hard for us to really identify with Christians who currently identify with the socialist, Democratic Socialist Party of now. The Democratic Party currently that we have is not the Democratic Party of maybe my aunts and my uncles or my grandfather and my grandmother. It's a completely different Democratic Party that is just steeped in communism and socialist ideologies. And it started way back when, in the 40s, actually, even the 50s, where it started coming in through our school systems and kids started being indoctrinated. It even went into our seminaries. And that's why I think we see all the issues we have now with doctrine and the Word of God. And it's crept into our political system. And we've lost exactly what you said, the understanding of what our soldiers have fought for to keep our nation completely free. We have no premise anymore for what morality is. We have no understanding of what our nation was founded on. And to be honest with you, Western society is extremely spoiled. If most of these people who were democratic socialists or identified as Marxists or even communists, we packed them up, put them on a plane, and we shipped them over to a communist country like Cuba or Venezuela or Nicaragua, as you said previously, they wouldn't last a day. It reminds me of the people who said that ISIS wasn't violent. There was a young woman and a young man who were social justice warriors on Instagram who, quote, did wanderlust and traveled the world and bridging the gap between different cultures. Very naive. And they wanted to make a point that ISIS was not violent. So they did everything they could to reach out to the Muslim community and learn what they thought they knew about Sharia law. And they decided they were going to go to, I believe it was Afghanistan at the time. And they were going to go on a bike ride and they were going to bike the country. And they did just that. They got on their bikes, a little 5'4", you know, brunette girl and a, you know, maybe a 5'7" guy. They got on their bikes and they started going throughout the country. And then what happened? They actually got commandeered by a busload of ISIS warriors who pulled them over on the side of the road, videotaped their beheading and sent it across the entire nation and worldwide on video to make a point of what they were about and who they were. It's sad, but we don't understand. We think that these things aren't going to affect us, and they indeed are. And they're going to do it in a very horrific and traumatic way if we don't wake up. And so we do need to understand from a biblical perspective what God has called us to do and what he has called us to believe and to propagate as believers. And communism ideologies and socialist ideologies and what's good for you is good for you. What's good for me is good for me. Your truth is true to you. My truth is true to me. What's mine is yours. This Bernie Sanders free school everything, and I'm going to cancel charter schools and Christian schools and defund them because, you know, at the end of the day, we have to equal the playing ground for everybody, and this complete dismantling of our democratic republic is horrific. And you're right, we don't know. And so I appreciate your call. Do you have a question?
No, well, no, I just wanted to, you know, to say that because, you know, they, what they preach is equality. You know, equality, even, yeah, I guarantee you, if, you know, if all the wealth of the world is given to each individual as in the earth today, I guarantee tomorrow it's going to be, it's not going to be inequality. Why? Because, you know, there are individuals who are creative, you know, that invest and get, they, you know, they imagine things and create jobs and, you know, and inventions to succeed. And there are others, you know, that they are, you know, they don't want to, they don't have the same, you know, the same effort. You know, they don't have the same way, you know, encouragement to succeed. So I don't think, you know, equality, you know, even in the Bible, you know, in the Bible, the Quran and the Torah, and then, you know, in the Bible, it says, you know, there is no equality. It's equal. This is a, now we have to fight for equal opportunities. But see, in these three holy books, it says, in order for us to pursue something, our, you know, heaven, to go into paradise, we need to receive, you know, we need to receive God's instructions. And, but we have to decide, make a decision. You know, we are given the same opportunity, but then, you know, not everybody is willing to follow God's statutes.
They're not.
I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, thank you, Arian. We appreciate it. And thank you for calling in. We hope you're blessed. If you stay on the line, we'll get you a couple CDs and DVDs, some things that might help you evangelize to others, maybe further your walk. But thank you very much for that perspective, especially from where you are from and what you've seen personally. We appreciate it. Let's go to the phones with Jefferson from California. Hi, and welcome.
Hello, Shannon. I want to thank you for being a true Christian. Your voice is refreshing. You speak Christian truths to the public, and your show is excellent too.
To God be the glory, Jefferson. Thank you.
Right. So I'm a physician and I'm environmental scientist, and I want to agree with you on masks. You're right. They are probably worse than nothing.
Yeah.
And lockdowns too.
Yeah.
I also want to tell you that there was a man that called this week and talked to Mike about racism. He was a black pastor. And that guy, I could tell, had pretty bad experiences all his life because of his skin color.
Yes.
And I went to an all-black school, and I got beat on, too. I'm a white man, and it's not the same thing. Mike just came back with his experience, but he has no idea what true racism is really like. And I just feel for the black man that is a preacher and loves you guys anyway.
Yeah, you know, racism is a big issue, and I know that we have perpetuated a lot of racism and even prejudiceness, more so now probably than ever before. I think it really started during the Obama administration, as I had said yesterday, that we have brought up and reopened the wound of racism and prejudiceness when I think it had died down and we had proven as a nation that we weren't going to be held back by our past. We weren't going to live in the past. We were going to look at each other as equals and not judge each other by our skin color. And slowly that started changing. And it is painful. It's extremely emotional. It's painful to those who are African-American who, you know, more times than not, they do deal with racism and prejudiceness, even in our school systems. My background is veterinary medicine. I have a lot of African-American doctors who worked for me previously. And I know exactly how hard it was for them to get into vet school because they're run by very influential white men. And so it was very difficult for them, even if they had great grades, to get into maybe Purdue or someone, even, you know, University of California, Davis, UC Davis. But they knew they would be accepted in an HSBCU, Historical Black College and University. And so I saw it firsthand for no reason. It's still out there. Prejudiceness is still out there. Racism is still out there. But we've made it more of a problem than it really truly is. The media has disseminated the lie, which has opened the wound and caused a lot of pain and anger and frustration and honestly sin and lawlessness to abound from reopening that wound. And Satan knows exactly what he's doing by race baiting everybody and causing us to turn against each other. You see, if we can turn against each other and the media propagates that, then guess what? We're being pawns in a bigger game. There's a bigger scheme. And I think that we all could see there's something else going on other than what we're really being told behind the scenes, geopolitically and nationally. But it doesn't mean that we remove ourselves emotionally from those who are suffering. And I have also experienced reverse racism, which it really isn't reverse, it's racism, period. Because one culture can't be more racist than another. But we still need to be sensitive to the emotion and the pain that is involved for all parties, Jefferson.
I've just got one more comment. Sure. I've almost, in my 70 years, I've almost died about 40 times. I've had terminal cancer, been shot at, and fallen off mountains and out of buildings and run over and stuff.
Wow.
I've almost drowned, and several of those 40 times I've gotten close enough to heaven to know that it's there. And I can't, I'm not afraid of death anymore. I don't want to die right now, but there is another side to this life, and it's I've been at the brink, and it's beautiful.
Well, you know what, Jefferson, you're right. Death has lost its sting once you're a believer. We all know where we're going, and I feel for you and all the things that you've gone through, but you know what? That's what creates you to be who you are, your strength in the Lord, and to know where you're going to go when you depart. So thank you very much for everything you've said. I appreciate it. I pray that my response is ministered to you, and I wish you well and that you will be blessed the rest of the day, Jefferson.
Thank you. Same to you.
Hey, God bless you. I believe we have Dan Steiner on with me. Finally, Dan, you here?
Shannon, my apologies for being delinquent here. I just completely dropped it in the middle of another meeting. It's such a joy to listen to your thoughtful answers here and to be on with you. Usually it's Mike, so this is a real pleasure.
Hey, you know what? I'm glad you're here. Thank God you made it on. No delinquency here. Everything happens for a reason. I gave a little prelude about who you are and what you do. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about Preborn Ministries and your passion that you have for the unborn?
Glad to do so. It's just such a joy, Shannon, to be able to tell each of those that are listening to Every Man an Answer today that together, CSN audience and Preborn have saved over 37,000 babies from abortion so far this year. And
profound.
CSN is one of the most pro-life organizations you can give to. And so before I would say anything about Preborn, let me just say that as you support CSN Radio, you're supporting an organization that we couldn't save the thousands of babies that we do without the help and the voice and the megaphone that CSN Radio provides us. And so it's Preborn is in great teamwork and league with CSN to save these mothers and to lead them to Christ. We've seen over 6,000 women come to Christ working in the highest abortion cities of America. So 52% of the abortions happen in only six states. These are the blue states, not surprisingly, or it says in God's word, all those who hate me love death.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
That's
there.
True. Yep.
And the liberal policy leads to death in a multitude of ways, economically, socially, culturally, educationally, all the things, some of which you've already talked about, but also children whose little broken bodies are in biological waste containers, you know, in the back of these buildings. And what we've done together has been a tremendous outreach this year to these abortion cities, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Houston, Dallas, the entire state of Florida, where over 52% of the abortions are. What we do is we provide compassionate, loving, Christ-centered help to these women that come in. We reach them on the internet before Planned Parenthood does. Planned Parenthood, Planned Unparenthood does.
Yeah.
That's another subject on racism right there.
Yeah.
But,
genocide.
Oh, tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
And only going to get worse, the cutting edge of that we could talk about. But when a girl comes to us, what she meets on the phone and as she walks into one of our clinics as a loving, compassionate, most likely mother of some Christian children that will share with her, care about her first, and then share with her the truth that will set her free. And we do pregnancy tests if she's pregnant and she is considering abortion at all. If she's not elated about the pregnancy, we give her an ultrasound, let her meet her baby. And that's what the TMA to Every Man and Answer listeners have supported, and CSN Radio listeners have supported these ultrasounds for free for these. We can give them to them for free. There's a $400 medical service. We get a nurse giving it to them, and they get this ultrasound, and, 80%, sometimes even 90% of the time, they'll choose life because they've met their baby for the first time, real time, right there swimming around like a little astronaut in the amniotic fluid. And then we give them maternity clothes and doctor visits and cribs and car seats and diapers after the baby's born. Many of our counselors go into the delivery room with these women and just lovingly care for them in the name of Christ. It's one thing to say you're against abortion, right?
That's right.
What are you going to do when they say, okay, so what are you going to do to help me?
Well, we're coming up on a break. And when we come back from the break, I want you to expand more on your ministry and everything that you do for these women right after this.
CSN is like a part of the family. We can sit with you in your living room, cook with you in your kitchen, and travel with you in your car, offering encouragement and hope all along the way. Please let us know when you have comments or prayer requests. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact CSN at csnradio.com or call us at 800-357-4226.
You have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy, Psalm 61:3. CSN International has hundreds of stations across the nation, and each one requires a tower to broadcast from. We choose to use these towers to spread the word of God, the gospel, salvation through Jesus Christ. CSN needs your help. That's why we started Tower Keepers. It's a donation program from CSN offering you a chance to support your local station and keep it on the air. A monthly donation of whatever you can give allows CSN to continue to be the network where God's word is heard. You can join Tower Keepers. Give us a call at 1-800-357-4226 or send your donation to CSN Tower Keepers, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. For more information, you can log online to csnradio.com.
You're dialed in to the Christian Satellite Network. We broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide, including multiple stations in Florida. You can listen in Greenville, Tallahassee, Palm Beach, Jacksonville, Key West, and many more great cities throughout Florida and nationwide. A full station list is available at csnradio.com. This is CSN International, where God's word is heard.
Glory to God. Expressions of worship from believers all across the world. CSN.
Hi, and welcome back to Every Man an Answer. I am your host, Shannon Skolton, today with Dan Steiner from Preborn Ministries. Dan just joined us, telling us a little bit about what he does to save the lives of the unborn. We know, Dan, that abortion is something that is very flippant in the minds of Americans. We suffer at the hands of Roe versus Wade, Planned Parenthood, and the crazy ideologies of people who are against pro-life and are working diligently to do population control. And as we mentioned a little bit earlier, genocide. What are your thoughts on the Trump administration, specifically in their stance right now on pro-life?
Well, throughout the entire tenure of Trump-Pence, they have done more than any other presidency, all of them probably combined, to stop the forward movement of the eugenicistic pro-death abortion movement pioneered and piloted by Planned Parenthood and by the Gates organizations and others, not just locally, but globally, nationally and globally, from putting Mexico City policy in the very first week to putting in a pregnancy center director in charge of Title 10. Mm. That was a really good one. Mm-hmm. They have been champions for this, culminating in the ram in the thicket, I would say, of Amy Coney Barrett. So that was a tremendous move that I think will be probably the death knell of Roe versus Wade. There's several different cases that are moving, many that could be the tipping point in a now conservatively bent Supreme Court to turn that back. And so let's talk about that for a minute. What happens if we are, praise God, if we do eliminate Roe versus Wade? What happens next? Well, it doesn't make it illegal in every state. It just means it's not nationally sanctioned. And so then it turns it back to the pre-Roe America that we had before. And what that means is that every state gets to decide whether they want to have abortion legal, which means it'll be there'll be destination states like there was before Roe versus Wade, where they would have women bust, you know, several times a week to New York and other places to have abortions in these cities because their states had restrictive or outlawed abortion. And many states will do that, as we thankfully know. And then there's some states that it will never, you know, apart from a miracle from the Lord, be outlawed, such as New York, which back in January of 2019 really codified abortion, unrestricted abortion, as part of the charter of the state. And so that's going nowhere in that state unless there's a more conservative legislature put in place. Same with California, Virginia, many other states, Illinois, unfortunately. And so that is why Preborn years ago has decided that we would put our focus in the place where abortion is most prolific and where it will endure if Roe versus Wade is overturned. So we're in these states. We just put a center last year in the highest abortion neighborhood in the United States, which is Queens and Jamaica, Queens, New York, where there's like 38,000 abortions and only 32,000 live births.
Wow.
And so
those are pretty staggering numbers, you know, and it's heartbreaking to know that that's what happens on a daily basis in your own neighborhood. So go ahead.
It's an African American neighborhood too. To our previous conversation, Shannon.
Yeah.
Planned Parenthood. Let's see. What's the figure? I think 62% of their clinics are in African American neighborhoods, or low income neighborhoods, and they have the abortion juggernaut has exterminated the same number of black people that exist in America today. Mm. And so it's very racist.
It's very racist and it's very, very intentional. And we need to make sure that everybody listening understands that this is not healthcare. Healthcare keeps people alive. Abortion kills people. So it's the complete opposite of healthcare services. And that is very, very important to understand. I know we have a caller here who has a question specifically on abortion. And it's Carrie from Austin, Texas. Carrie, hi and welcome.
Hi, sorry about that.
Hi, Carrie, how are you?
Can you hear me okay?
Barely.
Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you, Carrie. How can we help you?
Okay. Well, there's been something that's really been on my heart recently about abortion, and I'm very pro-life. And I keep hearing this argument over and over about that it's a woman's right to her body. And it's so frustrating to me because an unborn baby is not part of a woman's body. It's a separate being.
Correct.
And so it's attached for a short while, much like we get gas, you know, our car gets gas at a gas station, right? But that car doesn't become part of the gas station.
Well, that's a great analogy. Yeah. And, you know, to be honest with you, Carrie, it's very simple science that the baby has a different DNA than its mother. Dan, your thoughts?
Yes, really. The power of helping them meet that baby in the counseling room with an ultrasound. It's very obvious. That's my baby. You know, this baby has its own life. And as we know, its own gender, often different than the mother's, obviously completely different DNA. And so this is the great argument that we have, is that this is a person. What are you going to do with this person when it becomes my baby, you know, in the center? Then that maternal instinct kicks in and they'll choose life. But, you know, how do you confuse a liberal? You don't. They're already confused. Facts notwithstanding, you know, don't confuse me with the facts. So, yeah. Carrie, you're right.
Funny.
It's a different person, but they choose to ignore reality. And so, as you were saying earlier, Shannon, we've come to a place in America where in all of the seven pillars of our culture, we have moral relativism. What's right for me is what's the absolute standard, when in fact there is a true absolute standard followed from the Word of God and the Judeo-Christian culture, which makes a civilization so we don't kill people like we're doing.
Apparently, you know, we don't understand that we are going to be held responsible for all the innocent blood that is shed in this country. And, you know, when we went to the Return with Jonathan Cahn, Dan, saw you in Washington, D.C., and we joined together in prayer. I mean, the Franklin Graham Prayer March was wonderful. We petitioned the Lord for forgiveness for our nation and intercession for our government and the heartlessness of the people that have turned away from God, so vehemently opposing the statutes of the Lord and what the Bible says, and as we consider a biblical worldview on all things, not just pro-life. And we did ask for forgiveness for all of the blood that was shed, and we repented of that. And in intercession for those who haven't done that. And that's a very, very important thing to understand, too, as evangelicals. What can we do? There's many things we can do, and that includes prayer, and that includes repentance and intercession.
Yeah, and your call is appreciated, Carrie. So we are the church is the pillar and support of truth in the Word of God. And as we tell them the facts about the anatomy, the science, the biology behind it, don't be afraid by the winds of culture, wrong though they be, to speak the truth in love.
Correct.
To these people.
Carrie, do you have any thoughts?
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you so much
for all that you're doing.
Oh, thank you very much, Carrie. May God be the glory. Stay on the line. We'll get you some information, some books, some CDs, some DVDs that might help you with your walk and also help you evangelize to others. There's also, Carrie, a book from the Family Research Council. It's a little pamphlet you can find at frc.org on pro-life and anti-abortion. And it's a great little compilation that might help you and talk to others in regards to the subject. Let's go ahead and go to Steve on the line. Hi, Steve from Shasta, California. Hi and welcome.
Hi, Shannon. Thank you for having me on your program. I guess what I have to talk about fits right in with what we're talking about now. I go to a church, and our pastor through the whole election cycle never did one thing to bring up the differences between the two candidates. And I had a discussion one day with one of the ladies that goes to our church. I'm a Trump supporter. I had a Trump hat on. And she came out and, you know, why are you voting for that guy? He's a narcissist. He's a this, he's a that. And so I told her, I said, well, you know, I said, this is the most pro-life president that we have ever had. And I went on to explain to her about how he had overturned the Johnson Law, where pastors couldn't preach politics in churches and things like this. And so anyway, I began to look around. I started noticing other cars in the parking lot of our church with the Biden bumper stickers and
this and that.
And I was just thinking to myself, you know, the scripture says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Mm-hmm. And this lady I was having the conversation with, she said, well, that's one thing I like about this church is the pastor doesn't say anything about politics. Mm. Well, I don't think we're talking about politics here. We're talking about life and death. We're talking about moral values.
Correct.
And so I've talked to other people that go to the church, and they brought, we were talking about the same thing. Gee, how come our pastor never said anything, never brought up anything about what's going on? And I'm beginning to think that maybe it's because he doesn't want to offend certain people in our church. Well, Jesus offended everyone when it came to the gospel in righteousness. In fact, he said he came to cause division. And I think one of the reasons the church is in the position, or the world in this country is in the position it's in now, is because the church hasn't drawn the line.
The church, the pastors of America, nonetheless, and I can't speak for any other country, don't draw the line. They don't, in general, shepherd their sheep. We're having issues with doctrine and theology. We're having issues with people misunderstanding that, you know, politics and the Bible, they're not separate issues. They're synonymous with each other. And the Bible is used for us to govern, and that's in government. And if you look all throughout the Bible, there's kingdoms and there's justice, and our God is a just God, and there's rules and there's regulations and there's laws. It is a completely political book. And for a pastor to not govern or not minister to the hearts of those sitting in the pews and help guide them, we've lost a lot of ground in the evangelical community. That is why we have the laws being passed that we have today. That is why we see such rampant liberalism, even in the evangelical community, and you have Joe Biden stickers at your church, because they don't know. They're not being shepherded appropriately, and we are sheep, and we are dumb. And we're, you know, most people are going to follow the fake news media and what they hear and what's being propagated, and they go to a church that's a latte and muffin church that never preaches the inherent word of God, that's not line by line, verse by verse. It's maybe just only topical, if that. It's glab it and brab it, preach it and teach it, very minusculely. And then here we are, not understanding why we can't be democratic socialist and not be a Christian. And if you go to PlannedParenthood.org's website, they have a segment, and it's side by side. It says Joe Biden, Donald Trump, and it literally goes through how pro-abortion Biden is and how anti what they consider as reproductive rights, which is what they call it, Trump is. And you can see it straight from the horse's mouth, the complete difference. And there's a spirit behind this. And Americans need to wake up, and pastors need to wake up, and they need to start shepherding their churches and realize you cannot be apolitical anymore. The time is near. Prophecy is being fulfilled every day. Christ is coming back soon. That's not going to help the kingdom of God. Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, I can't imagine how someone that is operating under the fear of the Lord would shirk from being what Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth, but the salt has lost its savor. It's good for nothing but to be discarded. And if we are not upholding the truth, they're not going to get it anywhere else. And the most fundamental right that we have is the right to life. And if we allow the most weak and innocent among us to be a victim of a political opinion or a personality preference, much worse. You know, I don't like Trump because of his personality. I don't like Trump's personality either, but I love his platform.
Well, we didn't elect a pastor, Dan. We elected a president.
Yeah, and he gets it done. What are the results? Look at the fruit. And that's even what the Lord does in our lives. And so I would encourage you to encourage your pastor there, Steve, to try to speak the truth in love and to be fulfilling his calling.
Steve, do you have a question in regards to your church or your pastor we can help you with?
Well, I was just going to add something else. You know, Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing.
Amen.
And I've decided I'm going to a Calvary Chapel church. I've actually left that church, and I'm going to go to the pastor and explain to him why I have left. I've gone to that church since 1963.
Wow, that's
and
a long
it's
time.
Not an easy it's not an easy decision, but I feel like Christians really have to take a stand. And like I said, I think the reason this country is in the mess it's in is because we haven't done so. And I'm just as guilty as anyone else. But I think it's getting to the point to where the Lord is going to separate the sheep from the goats.
Well, there's going to be a falling away of the church, and that falling away means they had to have been there at some point, Steve. So you're right.
And I think we're getting to we're in the birth pains, and it's time that Christians have to make a decision. Am I really going to follow Christ, or am I going to follow this world? And anyway, I thank you for having me on your program, and thank you for your comments. And I listen to this program just about every day I drive truck.
Oh,
and I really appreciate the program. Anyway, thank you.
Well, thank you, Steve. God bless you. Maybe you'd be blessed if you stay on the line. If you're interested, we'll get you some stuff, maybe some CDs and DVDs that'll help you with your walk, or maybe you can use as you drive truck around the country to minister to others. We're going to go to Vicki from Elko, Nevada. Vicki, hi and welcome.
Hi, Shannon and Dan. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
I didn't mention when the man asked me questions about what I'd like to talk about today. I didn't mention about abortion, but I am an abortion survivor. I had an abortion when I was a teenager, and after 13 years of nightmares, I found the Lord and accepted his forgiveness for that murderous act. But I didn't really receive healing for my broken soul until I was so moved to help out at a crisis pregnancy center. And it was during those times of volunteering that the Lord touched my heart and began the healing process. And basically, I hadn't forgiven myself. God had forgiven me, but I had not forgiven myself. And who was I to not forgive myself if God forgave me? And I really appreciate the preborn ministries and all that you're doing these days. And I wanted to say to the ladies out there that there is life after abortion. And if you put your trust in the Lord, he can take all things and make you a new creature.
Amen to that, Vicki.
And I have a question off the subject about the Holy Spirit.
Sure, go ahead.
I am wondering, because I've heard teaching in both directions on this subject, is the Holy Spirit present on the earth during the tribulation? I'm of a pre-trib bend, and no matter when the tribulation is, I think it's a pertinent question to know, is the Holy Spirit going to be here during the tribulation? And I know that people get saved during the tribulation because it talks about the martyred saints and their rewards, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Sure. Dan, your thoughts.
Well, I think you've nailed it there, Vicki, where you said that there are tribulation saints, people that come to know Christ, lots of them, massive revival during the time of the tribulation. And we see them gathered in heaven that did not take the mark of the beast or the number of his name. standing without number, it says, before the throne of God in Revelation. So the Spirit of God is the one who draws us to Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who, Jesus said, speaks of me. And so we know that the Holy Spirit is most certainly on earth. Now, the rapture church, most believe, is not on earth. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is and is still drawing men to himself. It says, no man comes unto the Father except he be drawn. And so that's the work of the Holy Spirit. It says in the Word of God in the Gospels to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. That's the three functions of the Holy Spirit. And nobody gets saved without that conviction. So we know that the Holy Spirit is very active during the Great Tribulation period. And many, many people will be saved as a result, most of them losing their lives as a result and finding for themselves a great place in glory because they didn't fold under the world system at that time. So that's a great question, Vicki. You're very thoughtful about the Word of God.
That's right. 2 Thessalonians 6:7, Vicki, says, and you know what is restraining him now so that he may be revealed in his time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And we have to consider who that restrainer is. Many people, there's a lot of churches that believe it could be a various range of things, including government and preaching and the binding of Satan and the church and the archangel, Michael the archangel. But we believe, and again, we're pre-trib as well, we believe that the Holy Spirit is the restrainer. And the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is what holds back lawlessness and the Antichrist's revealing. And when we're raptured and we're out of here, and the Holy Spirit lives within us, that indwelling Holy Spirit is no longer on this earth. And at a future time, God's people, you know, the Jews will be saved. It's so just like Dan said, it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's not working during the tribulation time. He's, I'm sure, very present as the Jewish people come to faith during the tribulation. But we do believe that the Holy Spirit is that restrainer and he will be removed. Does that answer your question?
Well, it sounds like you're saying the Holy Spirit is removed and Dan's saying it's not.
Well, as I said, I think the Holy Spirit who lives within us, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is gone because God's people are gone. But the Holy Spirit is still here and present, as Dan said, during the tribulation time, doing his work, because there will be tribulation saints.
That was the conclusion that I came to, and the person who was of the opposite opinion said, well, maybe God's just going to do something to bring people to Christ like he did in the Old Testament, where he just revealed himself, you know, and then they got saved. And it's like,
and people do believe, well, that, Vicki, but we have to take the understanding that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit have, the Trinity, Elohim, has always been and always will be. And so that revelation in the Old Testament also wasn't maybe just a Christophany, but also the Holy Spirit revealing himself. As we know, God walked with Adam and he spoke directly to certain patriarchs. So always keep that in mind. I think that your friend has the right premise, but a misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit and its role. And the problem is we try to fit God in this little box where this is how he has to do things when he does them. And that's the manner in which we tell people that's going to happen. And that's just not the truth. But remember that we are now the temple that the Holy Spirit lives in. And so if we, as believers, are raptured and we are gone, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit then is removed with us, and because we're not here on this earth, the Antichrist can be revealed if we're taking that pre-tribulation stance. But again, we can't put God in a box. The Holy Spirit will be active in ministering to the Jewish people and the tribulation saints during that time.
Right. Okay, well, thank you for clarification on that.
Well, thank you, Vicki. If you stay on the line, you give us a second, we'll get you some information, a couple books, a couple CDs and DVDs to help you in your walk. Thank you for calling. Thank you. We'll go to Las Vegas, Nevada. Ardell, hi and welcome. Ardell, are you with us?
Hello. Yeah, hi. Hi.
Oh, hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good, thank you. I just have a question. My sister and I were talking about this because I was doing my readings this morning or listening to a program at CSN this morning, and I forgot the name of, I forgot who was the speaker, but he talked about when Jesus Christ was on the cross. I believe it was Pastor Jeffers when he stopped this morning, and he mentioned about the Lord on the cross, and one of the criminals said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So my question about this is, the resurrection.
Well, Ardell, I'm going to stop you right there. Hold on to your question till we come back on the other half of the break. We will be back with the third part of To Every Man an Answer right after this.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare, and here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fee, so that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yes, they can handle your bills, too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Hi, friends. Pastor Chapin from Calvary Chapel University with really, really great news for you. Calvary Chapel University is now fully accredited. That's right, fully accredited through TRACS, a national accrediting agency. If you're interested in completing or starting your 100% online college degree, go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today. Calvary Chapel University is not only online, but it's sound doctrinally and 100% based on the Word of God. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com to get your fully accredited college degree. One other blessing. If you apply between now and the end of December, you will get a 50% off tuition scholarship. That's half off your entire college degree for your entire college degree. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com, apply today, and Pamela and Donna will be happy to help you. Oh, one other thing. Pastor Skip Heitzig is now a faculty member, and he's teaching actively at Calvary Chapel University. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today.
CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, is broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide. With stations in 45 of our 50 states, we're never far from where you are. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world 24/7 at csnradio.com. You can be a part of CSN by spreading the word. Join us on Facebook and tune in every day for the best Bible-based teaching and modern praise and worship music. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
This is KAWZ Twin Falls, the Christian Satellite Network.
And welcome back to the third segment of To Every Man an Answer, the live call-in apologetic show where we answer your Bible questions that you might have, whether you heard something weird in church, maybe you have questions you talk about amongst your friends. We're here to answer those questions and help you figure out what the Bible says through good exegesis of the scripture, line by line, verse by verse teachings and principles that will help you in your walk. I have Dan Steiner on today with me. If you're interested in calling in for us to answer your Bible question, please give us a call at 8888-ASK-CSN. We told you earlier in the program we would have some tools and some things you can use in your walk with the Lord, and maybe specifically in regards to abortion. And I have a little pamphlet here for those who are looking online, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Periscope. It's called Biblical Principles for Pro-Life Engagement. It's an amazing tool that you can keep in your toolbox for the Lord. Things you can read in here, gives you scriptures in regards to pro-life, what the Bible has to say on it, and biblical references to look back to. You can get it at frc.org, or you can contact us at csnradio.com, and we can get some for you. We're going to go back to the phone call with Ardell. Ardell was inquiring about Jesus and his resurrected body. Ardell, why don't you go ahead and finish your question for us so we can answer it?
Yeah, thank you. Because I don't know if I am right in my the way I see it. Like when Jesus told his disciples that he was going to die and rise again, he's only referring to his physical body. Because here in Luke 23, verse 43, he promised the criminal that humbled himself and asked the Lord to remember him. When he said, "Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom," and Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So he did not say that on the third day you will be with me in paradise, I will take you to paradise, but he said today. So I was thinking maybe it's just his physical body that was dead and then became alive for on the third day, but in spirit he did not die. I mean, that's what's bothering me.
Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, so that's an interesting pre-resurrection salvation there. We know that we're saved by grace through faith plus zero, and the man demonstrated. He said, "Lord," you know, he admitted his faith in Christ right there on the cross, and Jesus said to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So we know that it says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, I believe, we're confident then that when we're away from the body, we're at home with the Lord, away from the body, home with the Lord. And so the old song holds true, "This world is not my home, I'm only passing through. This body is a temporary vehicle for the real you, which is your spirit, which upon death will be with the Lord." We know that absent from the body is present with the Lord, and that's what happened to the thief on the cross. Christ's body went into the grave. His spirit descended into hell to take the place back for Jesus. And he did, and then he rose victorious and with the keys of death and Hades. And so I hope that provides some clarification that in the very unique aspect of that thief that had faith and placed it in Christ right then.
Correct. Ardell, does that help your understanding?
Yeah, so what you're saying is that it's just like when we surrendered our lives to the Lord, now like today we know that we are going to be with the Lord in paradise. Is that what you're...
Amen. That's right.
Like he promised. Okay, I get it now.
Waiting for that great day of the resurrection of both the living and the dead, and our bodies will be resurrected to judgment or to paradise, you know, to join our spirits in heaven.
Well, I understand now. I guess it's just he's just in a better position that day because, like, literally that day he will be with the Lord in paradise, and unlike us, we have to wait a little bit. A bit more, but yeah, I did. Thank you. I do understand.
Correct.
I do understand.
Like Dan said, Ardell, the point is absent with the body, present with the Lord. So thank you for calling in. We're glad that helped you. If you stay tuned, we'll get you some information to help you with your walk, some CDs and DVDs. We'll go to Charles in San Jose, California. Charles, hi and welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am a conservative Christian, love the Lord. I know very little about politics. I don't follow the news that much. But what I've been told is the Republican Party is more conservative and they make decisions that are closer to the Bible. That's what I've been told. Mm-hmm. Now, the few times that I get with the media or, you know, watch it, I see Trump talking very badly and doing very bad things. So I don't understand why Christians are supporting Trump. They can see his evil behavior.
All right. Well, let me help you with that a little bit. Conservatism and biblical worldview or viewpoints are not necessarily synonymous. We see that there tends to be more people who consider themselves conservative who are Christians. And that's just a known fact. Most evangelicals vote conservatively or tend to be Republican. And that's because the current liberal party and liberalism leans very far left and far away from biblical ideologies. And so what ends up happening is we see that people make a uniformed assumption that conservatives are evangelical or evangelicals are conservative. Now, in a premise that people who are conservatives, you know, maybe vote for Trump or support Trump, and he says things that might be condemning, crude, rude, and unattractive. Maybe he lived a life in the past that people want to continue to beat over his head. Regardless, as Christians and conservatives, we have to understand that we did not elect a pastor. We elected a leader of the free world. And we have to look at which leader is going to hold the biblical worldview that the Bible tells us in Romans 1 to vote for. And we have to choose the candidate that has that standpoint, that viewpoint that they stand firm on, the closest to our spiritual convictions. That just so happens to be mostly conservative. There's a lot of conservatives who don't believe what they say when they get elected. They truly are completely the opposite. They lie to get in office. They're rhinos, maybe, Republican in name only. They hold very liberal ideology. So I'd be hard-pressed to say if you're conservative, you're a Christian. If you're Christian, you're conservative. But Trump has held fast to a lot of the evangelical viewpoints that the Bible tells us that we need to vote for. One is pro-life, anti-abortion. One is holding fast to the stance of the support of Israel, Jerusalem becoming the capital of Israel, and countless others. We can talk about civil liberties and religious freedoms, being pro-religious freedoms and pro-civil liberties, pro-prayer in schools, garnishing himself not only with people who love the Lord and the Word of God, but having a prayer team and Bible study on Wednesday nights in the White House. Even surrounding himself with an evangelical coalition and a group of pastors who minister to him and pray for him daily. Trying to look at everything from a moral and biblical perspective, bringing Christ and prayer back into schools, into our modern vernacular. Staying away from things that are secularist, and standing fast to those principles. Is he perfect? No. Is he going to stand by every little jot and tittle that's in the Word of God? Probably not. He's human, and he's going to sin. But our job is to elect the official that most uprightly holds our viewpoints and what we believe the Bible tells us, again, like in Romans 1, to stand for and vote for. And on the other hand, you have Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who are the complete opposite of what the Word of God says we should vote for. They're pro-abortion, which stems from Baal and Molech worship, child sacrifice, the spilling of innocent blood to feed the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. You look at them with their viewpoints on not only abortion, but contraception. The socialist and the communist movement, which is government over God. So we have to look at these things and we have to vote for the people that most highly represent what God has called us to vote for. Dan, your thoughts?
Well, you really nailed that, Shannon. You've got a great grasp on the fact that we vote for a platform, not for a person. We don't vote for a party. We vote for what the party is saying they will accomplish. And the Republican Party is most closely aligned with the Word of God. And the Democratic Party is not. I can give you some assurance, though, from a personal vantage point, in that I've had Mike Pence as the governor of my state. Mike is a supporter of Preborn in the past, and his accountability partner is one of mine when he was here in the state of Indiana. And he is exactly what he says he is. He's a man of God and every bit as pro-life and Christian as Shannon or myself. And so there's, apart from the storied personality of Trump, I can say with my own personal assurance, Pence is the real deal. And by the way, this is a biblical pattern. God is in the habit of putting super godly men beside checkered world power personalities. You got Pharaoh and Joseph. You've got Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. Ezra and Artaxerxes, these people are really champions of the faith beside heathen world powers that God places there specifically. This is Pence Trump.
And, you know, plain and simple, we have to stop looking at people's past and look at what they're doing and the fruit that they're bearing right Amen. Now. Because at the end of the day, you're not perfect. Neither am I. Neither is Dan. Neither is any listener on the other end of this microphone. We have to be judged by our current walk with the Lord and what we're currently doing. You know, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and so has Trump. Trump has said some horrific things. He's not silver-tongued. He's rude, crude, and unattractive, especially in his Twitter rants. But that doesn't bother me. Why? Because I'm looking at what he does for Israel. I'm looking at what he does for pro-life. I'm looking at what he does for pro-civil and religious liberties. I'm looking for him supporting the freedom of the American people, being a constitutionalist, an originalist, standing by everything that our forefathers fought and shed their blood for. Because I want to maintain my freedom. I want to be able to have the freedom of speech and the freedom of press and the Second Amendment and the ability to vote and not be in a communist world and live under communist ideologies. I don't want government over God. God needs to always reign true and reign and rule over this nation. And unfortunately, the current leftists, the liberals, who consider themselves democratic socialists or just liberals in general, want the complete opposite. They want the opposite of every single thing the Bible says, and there's a spirit about them. And the way that they foam at the mouth and they gnash at their teeth at everything that is righteous and holy, and how they attack anybody who is a Christian or a conservative, and we've seen that action from them with Kavanaugh and Amy Comey Barrett. So hopefully that answers your question. Charles, do you have any other questions?
Well, that was fantastic. You know, the facts you stated, both of you, were educational for me. I do appreciate that. I would say one thing is while we're promoting that conservative Republican platform and we're stuck with Trump, yeah. When a Christian promotes that, I think we should also say, in spite of the fact that he seems to be his behavior is that of a terrible human being, I think we should tell the whole truth.
Well, his behavior is his behavior, and what we should do as evangelicals is pray for him and pray that God continues to revive him. You know, Charles, when I rededicated my life to the Lord, God took certain things for me when I was rebaptized that I least expected. You know, some people need to really grasp the ramifications of sanctification and that God's doing a continual work until the day we die in our lives. And there were things that God removed from me, like my mouth, which at the time was horrific. I had a mouth like a truck driver. No offense to truck drivers, but I had a horrible mouth. And when I got baptized, that was the first thing that left. Maybe some of my other behaviors and the issues that I had and the hangups didn't. And others would look at me and say, you know, oh, Shannon's still doing this, she's still doing that. But God gradually worked those things out in my life. And we need to give that same grace to Trump. Maybe God has changed him significantly in so many ways. And there's those things like his mouth and his behavior that slowly are going to change. But that's where grace comes into play. And we need to remember we have a God who's gracious and long-suffering with us. Charles, thank you so much for the call. I hope that helps. Hang on, and our producers will get you some information to help you with your walk and maybe to evangelize to others. We're going to go to Jeff in Tigard, Oregon. Jeff, hi and welcome.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Awesome, okay. So I was just, tuned in and I was listening to the subject that we were talking about earlier about abortion. And I just wanted to share my testimony because it might, you know, do some good for maybe some other people that, you know, are going through the pain of past mistakes. And so, you know, when I was 19 years old, I made the unfortunate, very, very unfortunate decision with my ex-girlfriend to have an abortion. And then again, immediately after we were pregnant, we had a second abortion. And then on our third pregnancy, we decided we were going to keep our baby. And we were in a car accident, and she had a miscarriage. We had a miscarriage. So I lived a pretty wild youth. And 21 years ago, you know, about 21 years and a half, I got saved. And I'm, 49 now. So, in my journey with the Lord, I ended up, falling in love, more and more with, you know, His Word, and, digging deeper. And in my relationship with Him, there were times that I have gone through where there was what, you know, seemed what I would describe as maybe a dryness, or, you know, where I was in depression or incredible sadness. And I would have to take self inventory and press in deep and, you know, and ask the Lord, why am I going through this? What is, you know, what's going on? You know, this is, you know, such a strange, you know, there, you know, I would, after going through my personal inventory, I would, you know, come to the conclusion that there's no perceivable reason why I should be going through this, you know. And I would just cry out, just crying out as the deep cries out to deep, you know, I'm just like crying out to the Lord saying, why am I going through this? What's this incredible sadness? What's, you know, what is this? And then I ended up, you know, adopting this dog that, my dog ended up at 9 months old. He needed surgery on his elbow. And then at 3.5 years, he needed surgery on his knee, on his right knee. And then at 5.5 years old, he was diabetic, insulin dependent. So as I had this, my relationship with my dog, I grew so close to him because, he depended, his life depended on me. I had to keep him moving. I had to keep his blood sugar under control. And then as he got older, his health started to slip, and I started to panic, emotionally, and slipped into depression. And I requested, a Christian counselor, and she was great. She nailed it. I mean, I was completely honest with all of my, you know, there's like a preliminary packet that you fill out, mm-hmm. of your life history. And she, you know, one day she said, I think that your depression is from your abortions and your miscarriage. And I said, no, because, you know, I know that my baby's got a past that you know, we learned, you know, where David was mourning for his first child with Bathsheba, when, you know, that child was sick, he was, you know, mourning. And then when the child passed, he washed himself and went into the, you know, temple to worship and praise God. And they asked him, you know, well, why now when he's passed? And he says, because I know that I'll see him again. And, you know, so I had known that. And she says, no, I really think that this is it. And I think we need to look deeper. And as soon as I said, okay, let's, you know, let's take a look at it. As soon as I opened that little wall that I had built around, you know, this little like stronghold that I had built in my heart to protect myself from, you know, the pain of that, I just broke down. I lost it, and I got to mourn. And, you know, it's, I guess the reason why I decided to call in and just share this is because I feel like what the Lord was had done in my life was, you know, even though I knew that, you know, I know that the Lord has forgiven me and forgiven all of us for our past sins, any sins that were, that we, you know, present sins and any possible future sins that we might get into, there's still pain and repercussions, and there's a ripple effect that in our lives that sin causes. And sometimes, you know, there's with, you know, that the Lord, that sometimes there's a dealing that we have to do. There's, you know what I mean? There's like a reconciliation that we have to come to, or, you know, and deal with in certain things. And for me, you know, obviously there was, and it's still, I'm still incredibly sad over it, but at least I know now what that is, what that sadness is.
And Jeff, it's good that you got counseling, and it's good that that counselor was able to help bring that out in you, because a lot of times we suffer traumas and we go through things in our life and we don't understand that it still does hold on, and that there is a spirit that is attached with certain mistakes that we make, and there's familiar spirits. There's things that we do need to shed, that we honestly think we become a Christian and, you know, it is true, our old life passes away and we become completely new, but there is a cognitive decision we need to make to completely surrender ourselves and our inhibitions, and everything needs to go away, and we need to be in communion with Christ, and we need to bear our souls, and we need to ask for repentance, and we need to dwell on that, and God will heal us. Dan, your thoughts?
Well, I'm glad that you squared away with the decision that you've made, and the Lord says to you, he has a specific word for you this day, Jeff, which is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there's therefore now, that means right on this program, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if God's forgiven you and he has no condemnation for you who are a repentant man, then you have no grounds but to be joyful of the fact that you're forgiven and free indeed in Christ. And you're absolutely right. That baby will be waiting for you in heaven. You know, so take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Absolutely.
The enemy comes along, tempts you to despair, turn him away empty-handed.
That's right. And it's a beautiful testimony, and we appreciate it that you were able to heal and you were able to mourn and you were able to move past, and hopefully many can move past things that they've gone through with their life, again, knowing that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We're going to go to Randy in Twin Falls, Idaho. Welcome, Randy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
No problem. How can we help?
Oh, I don't have per se a Bible question. I find, well, I'm not a Bible scholar or anything, but almost every day I listen to the program, I always find myself answering some of the questions. But I just had a comment about our president.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people give our President Trump a bad name because they listen to the media. The media lies about him all the time. They don't like what he's doing. I mean, he's for Israel. He's against abortion. He doesn't want to give our money to overseas. I heard Biden was going to put things, everything Trump did, he's going to reverse it.
He is going to reverse it. We only have a few seconds left in the program, Randy, but you're right. Trump is very pro-life, and he's pro-civil religious liberties and freedoms. And that's extremely important for us to know and support a president who holds up to the biblical worldview that God has told us we as believers need to hold. Dan, I appreciate you being on this program. Do you have any last thoughts for Randy?
Yeah, Randy, appreciate your support of what's true. It's good.
It is. We have to support what's true and what's good. We need to be a voice of truth in our communities. As I say on my program all the time, which you can find me at Voice of Truth with Shannon Skolton on Facebook and YouTube, as well as Instagram and Twitter and all the platforms. Thank you for listening to Every Man an Answer today. Thank you so much, Dan, for being with us. And until next time, good night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.